Masala, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. Before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, March 23rd. In 1775, in a meeting of the 2nd Virginia Assembly to discuss the increasingly oppressive moves by England, like the Stamp Act and the Tea Act taken against the colonists, Patrick Henry announces, "I know not what course others may take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death." His words became a rallying cry for those who were becoming more disenchanted with King George III of England. In 1806, explorers Lewis and Clark depart Fort Clatsop on the Pacific coast after camping out subsequent to their long and arduous journey across the continent with the Corps of Discovery. After enduring grueling conditions, including horrendous weather, rough terrain, hostile Indian tribes, and shortages of food and water, they were ready to get back to St. Louis to announce the results of their remarkable trip. And in 1998, director James Cameron takes the stage to claim his Academy Award for Best Director for the film Titanic, tying Ben-Hur in the record for most awards at 11, including Best Picture. The ill-fated ocean liner attempted to cross the North Atlantic in 1912, fatefully hitting an iceberg, which led to the deaths of 1,517 men, women, and children. The film's song, "My Heart Will Go On," became an instant smash hit, capturing the hearts of millions around the world. Visitors to the Brandywine Valley who have driven around the region know there are dozens of historic sites from centuries past, some falling badly into disrepair. Many of the colonial-era gristmills, paper mills, ironworks, blacksmith shops, and other structures from yesteryear around the area still survive, but in a dilapidated state, some literally falling apart, waiting for local citizens to step up to the plate and restore them to their original stature. If you drive along Birmingham Road, not far from the town of Westchester, Pennsylvania, you'll see the remnants of Strode's Mill, its colorful sign announcing its sausage and scrapple, evident to passers-by. The Strode's Mill Historic District encompasses 120 acres and 11 buildings, some dating back to the early 1700s. Art lovers know that the nearby Strode's Mill Gallery is open, welcoming visitors to come in and view the lovely paintings depicting the rustic countryside. Linda Catt is a concerned citizen who has been very actively involved with historic preservation in the region. She's helping to tell the story of our local heritage. Linda and others have formed the Friends of Strode's Mill in an effort to raise funds to refurbish these historic structures and preserve them for all to enjoy. And she's with us today. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gene. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. You know, Strode's Mill dates back well over two centuries and was here when British troops marched by during and before, I guess, the Battle of the Brandywine. Tell us just a little bit about its history. When was it originally built, and tell us a little bit about its background.
Well, this very interesting intersection is in the 1720s. Grist mill. There were a gathering of small businesses and families in that region. And the mill continued to prosper, and it got to the 1770s, changed hands. The Strode family, I don't even know exactly what year they came on as owners, but this mill supplied grain to Washington soldiers during the Revolution. Mm. And when the Crown forces came through Chester County on their way to fight at Brandywine, the troops moved through this crossroad of Strode's Mill and on its way to Sandy Hollow and Birmingham Hill. So this corner has seen so much of Chester County's history. And even before the 1700s, the Plum Rum Stream, which is a beautiful spot there, the Indians hunted, fished that area. So our timeline goes back to the mid-1600s that will explain why this corner has seen so much history when we begin our signage and for the educational and interpretive signs.
So well over 300 years worth of history here. Yes. How long have you been associated with the efforts to save Strode's Mill?
That's a good question. Like so many people, I drive that Route 52 Birmingham crossroad, and I, for years, watched this building kind of crumble in on itself. So I called the owner when there was a for sale sign, and the owner, I asked if he would be interested in selling it for $250,000. I was interested in saving it, and he said, no, it's easily worth $450,000 or $500,000. I said, well, that offer stands if you change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 years later, 5 or 6 years later, he passed away, and his estate then owned the property. Mm-hmm. And that's when I contacted again and said, I have an offer of $250,000, and it was standing, and would you be interested? And the estate liked the idea very much. They thought the idea of saving the history and the buildings suited the, but they were in a hurry because they have to settle the estate, so I couldn't drag it out very long. So I contacted East Bradford Township, and the township was terrific. I was pleased that they had an interest, and especially when you bring up the fact that Washington soldiers' story was connected to this, and the British invasion was all very good for them to think they're saving a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
So about 6 months later, we raised the funds. And we purchased the corner, the building, the 7 acres, and the structures for $210,000.
Oh, that's so interesting. You know, people who have driven around the Brandywine Valley know that there's actually two branches of the Brandywine. Apparently, the East Brandywine had most of the mills, and there were just literally dozens of mills along the Brandywine. As you go down towards Wilmington, Delaware, the famous Hagley Powder Works for DuPont were located right on the banks of the Brandywine, which was the origination of the DuPont Corporation a few centuries back. Was this a grist mill originally? Was the first structure actually a grist mill?
I believe it to be. Most research leads us to believe that it was a grist mill.
Mm-hmm. Now, the building that people most often see is the one with the Scrapple sign on the side of it, a local Pennsylvania favorite, sausage and Scrapple. Is this structure that is there now fenced in, was that actually a grist mill as well?
No, it was not. The grist mill most likely was the building that the art gallery is housed in. On the opposite side, there are a lot of early pictures of it from all sides of the stream side, the highway side. And the structures that are across the street with a Scrapple sign on it was the barn and the plant, the factory that was the processing for the Scrapple and the sausage. Now, the lower structure that has the sign Scrapple, that will be dismantled. And then the early barn, which is in very, very good condition, it's about a three-story barn. That will be a bank barn, and that will be saved and restored, and we'll have signage and things so people will know what the history was connected to this. And then the 7 acres will be cleaned up. If you've been by, you see the vines and the debris. Well, that'll all be cleaned up, and trails will be put in, and nature walks, and with some hope down the road, we'll connect it to Westchester University.
Oh, that should be excellent. So it looks like there's two structures. One was actually a grist mill, and that is now the Strode's Mill Gallery, and then you had the Scrapple Works. When did each one close down? Do you have any background information on that?
We've actually talked with quite a few of the employees who worked at the sausage factory. They were there in the 70s, and I would say the late 70s was when it was purchased away from the Strode family. And evidently the new owner did not have the success that the Strode family had, and he shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the way it stayed for probably 35, 40 years. And
mm-hmm.
The owner at the estate of Mark Rowan, Mark was a developer in Westchester, developed a lot of houses, and was well known in the Westchester area, and his two brothers were the executors of the estate and have been a great help in seeing this project through with East Bradford Township.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, when did the grist mill actually cease operations? Do you have any information on that?
I don't, but I'm sure the art gallery would have some interest and have information.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the structure, in that building, and you can go downstairs to where they have their little art, where they assemble the frames and such, you'll
mm-hmm.
see the inner building, that you can see the mill. But the wheel is gone. If you ever get a chance to see the mill at Anselma, that is a stunning recreation of a grist mill and a working mill. They still make the cornmeal there and the flour. But we don't plan to have any recreation of Scrapple, or some people have asked, won't you please make that Scrapple again?
A Pennsylvania favorite for breakfast.
It was served at the White House. It was so popular. And but I have, if I could find the recipe, we'd look into it.
By the way, for our listeners maybe in other states or around the country and the region as well in the Mid-Atlantic, Scrapple is absolutely delicious. It's not a health food, but it's a wonderful thing to have
mm-hmm.
with breakfast. Scrambled eggs and hash browns. So it's one of my personal favorites. I don't have it very often. But the sausage works has been abandoned for many years. The art gallery, when did the art gallery actually open up? Do you know?
It's been at least 25 years. She celebrated a 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And Donna, owner, has done most of the Wyatt family art.
Oh, yeah.
Framing. She's so fantastic at her work.
Oh, they have some excellent work there. Jacqueline Beam is a local artist. She has done some superb landscapes of the Chester County countryside. And I've been in the gallery several times. I've actually walked through the Scrapple Works building as well,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I guess, is kind of off limits at the moment. But they're both interesting structures. I'm an art lover, so I favor landscape paintings. But both buildings are very interesting. And through your work, we're going to be able to see the entire complex saved and preserved
mm-hmm.
for people with, you mentioned, I think, some trails and things like that,
yes.
which
mm-hmm.
would be great. We're almost going to take a break right now, but please stay with us. We're going to take a break for a commercial, and we will be back shortly. Thank you.
Honey, we need
a weekend getaway.
Weekend getaway. Somewhere with
amazing food.
Amazing food. And
cozy couples adventures.
Right, but not too far away or
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Yep, Gettysburg.
Okay, but I want biking through a national park.
Award-winning
golf courses.
Small batch wines, ciders, and craft beers.
How do you know all of this?
They have an app.
They have an app?
Yep, at destinationgettysburg.com.
So, Gettysburg.
Yep, Gettysburg.
Gettysburg, PA. Make your own history.
Are you tired of looking up at that old, streaky, stained, tired, ugly roof? Tired of that ugly roof taking away from your home's curb appeal? G.P. Martini Roofing wants to solve your curb appeal woes with a new roof built with Atlas Pristine Shingles featuring Scotch Guard Protector from 3M. The only shingle with a lifetime limited warranty against algae streaks and stains. G.P. Martini's crews are highly trained professional installers of asphalt shingle roofs, and now with the power of Atlas Shingles and Scotchgard Protector from 3M, GP Martini will install a roof that will provide the lasting color you choose for as long as you're in your home. Let GP Martini Roofing have a look at that nagging leak, or just call to consult about upgrading the look for your prized investment. Call them today, 610-873-1696. Whether your need is residential or commercial, GP Martini Roofing has the expertise in-house to solve your problem, or to simply make your home or office look its best. 610-873-1696. That's the number to call, 610-873-1696, and one of those GP Martini trucks will be on its way to you.
WCHE 1520 AM, bringing you all things Chester County from our palatial studios on West Gay Street in Uptown Westchester, the talk of Chester County. If you don't believe it, just ask your neighbor. They listen.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. We're talking with Linda Catt, who is leading the efforts to preserve the historic Strode's Mill and its entire complex in the region surrounding Westchester, Pennsylvania, an area that dates back several centuries. Linda, when did some of the locals first just start talking about ways to preserve the mill and other structures? I'm assuming it's been talked about for many, many years.
Well, I think there's been a hope and a desire for about the last 20 years to see something done. But this is my seventh rescue of a historic property. Mm. And over the years, I've learned how to get things moving, getting some momentum. So I put a sign up at the corner, interested in saving history, contact Friends of Strode's Mill and a website.
And by the way, your website is friendsofstrodesmill.org?
It is. .com, I think.
.com.
We use.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
And we got a great response. We got lots of people driving by saying, what's going to happen? What are you doing? What can I do to help? And so we also put a Facebook page up so that as things developed, we could keep everyone updated. So we got a lot of local support, especially across the street, the beautiful Sermontine Stone farmhouse that was the academy, mm-hmm. a boys' academy in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. The family there has pitched in and helped because they want so much to see this historic corner saved. So we're asking anyone interested to look at the website and our Facebook page, join us. Right at this moment, we have a committee that's researching the project and how we're going to clean up the debris and the undergrowth and the vines and the problem that just 40 years of neglect has caused. Mm-hmm. And so spring coming, we're going to have a major cleanup, and we have an architect's rendering of the look of the historic barn. And it's an exciting time. I'm very happy to say we've received some grants that'll help make it possible. And through local community involvement and people supporting, we've been selling T-shirts and things to keep people aware of us.
I have one of those T-shirts. Are there any archaeological digs associated with this site?
Well, I can't say from my involvement in the last year and a half, I can't say of any that it could have happened, and I'm sure that people with metal detectors have come through looking mm-hmm. for musket balls mm-hmm. and cannonballs and whatever they can find, mm-hmm. but I don't know of any at this moment in time, but mm-hmm. with this vast history, I'm sure that there have been digs. And
Now that it's on the National Register of Historic Sites, will there be any requirement for there to be digs?
I don't know if it's a requirement. That mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I thought if it had some official designation like National Register, they might.
Yeah, it's a district. This mm-hmm. whole community is involved, just like this, the village of Marshallton. It's mm-hmm. many, many resources in one district. But that's a good question. Will there be a dig? I don't know.
For our listeners, the city of Marshall, or the town of Marshallton, is a lovely town, and the Marshallton Inn, which dates back to 1814, is just a great site, not too far from Westchester. Linda and an associated group did help preserve Martin's Tavern. And Martin's Tavern is an old stone structure, part of which is still there, which dates back to before the Revolution, and its place in history goes to people having stayed there just before the Battle of the Brandywine and then leaving to warn General Washington's troops. What are the actual engineering projects that you project for or you estimate for restoring this site? I mean, in brief.
In brief, well, the township put the sort of a fence around the property just to keep it safe steps for someone who might come in and fall. And so when weather clears and we have good weather ahead, we'll begin dismantling the lower structure. That'll be taken apart slowly, and we've researched it. We've had environmental reports done. There is no lead paint. There's no asbestos, so we're free to dismantle and dispose. And again, we'll probably come in with Parks, the maintenance department, and equipment, and start taking down some of the dead trees and the vines. And then we'll get into the big barn, which I mentioned is in lovely condition. I'm very, really, it's been secured, I guess, for so many years, and has been kept dry, and the roof is intact.
Excellent.
And so,
do you have an estimate for the total project cost from start to finish, or is it still too early to do that?
It's still a little early. We're still getting prices on materials and such, but it will come together, I would say, by mid-year. We'll we'll have a cost estimate on construction and dismantling.
Now, we already talked about Marshallton. Tell us a little bit about some of your other efforts at historic preservation in the region. You've done quite a bit.
You know, for an amateur historian and a preservationist, these projects just fall in my lap. And I have to say, Martin's Tavern was a condemned building, and I knew there was something there. It had to be something of importance. So some researching with Tom McGuire, a wonderful author and a neighbor, we found Martin's Tavern. And it was so important during the Revolution. It was on all the British spy maps. They knew that this was a place to go. If you needed information, you wanted to find out something, go to Martin's Tavern. So it was on a very busy road from Lancaster County to Philadelphia. So that was a joy to restore. And by doing that, I uncovered the famous Mason-Dixon survey team who came through Marshallton on their way to define the line between Maryland and Pennsylvania. So I got involved in that because they were customers of the Martin's Tavern, and like good Englishmen love their pubs. And so I got involved in saving their Stargazer stone site, which is very near Marshallton.
Very close.
Very close.
And by the way, to our listeners, if you've never been to Marshallton but want to visit, there's a great place to have lunch or dinner called the Four Dogs Tavern, which is great.
Correct.
Yeah, and in terms of the Mason-Dixon line, I've always been interested in that since we live in Kennett Square, not too far from the actual line. There are stone markers, I believe, is it every mile or every 5 miles?
Every mile, yeah, exactly.
And some
of them
are still there centuries ago.
It was laid out with 1 mile markers, and then every 5th mile was a large stone. And these stones came from England, came over by ship. The king had instructed these two surveyors to go into the wilderness of Pennsylvania and stop the feud between Maryland and Pennsylvania. So they did that after 4 years of hard weather, and they were successful. And I find their story should be a movie. This is a wonderful story. It has all the intrigue and our early American. And here were these two Englishmen that landed here in the middle of Indian and wilderness and terrible winters. But I also uncovered Indian Hannah, one of the last of the Indians in Chester County, and where she was buried. And there was some mention of her services to Mason and Dixon in translating and helping them find their way on this westward route. And so I helped a little bit getting her recognition and finding her story, because she was quite an interesting legend here.
For our listeners who don't know the local Indians' history, the Lenni Lenape Indians were very prevalent around the Delaware Valley, down into the state of Delaware and up through the Brandywine Valley for centuries. And they were the dominant population before European settlers got here. But Indian Hannah was supposedly one of the last surviving of the Lenni Lenape Indians. And her story linking with the Mason-Dixon is quite interesting. I've actually, getting back to Strays Mill, I've actually attended some of the fundraisers for Strays Mill, which are excellent, and drew some very large crowds. What kind of events are you planning in the near future?
That's right on our calendar for this 2016. We are in good shape with some endowment money. We've raised funds. We've made a plaque available for people interested in supporting this effort. $1,000 donation to a, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and this $1,000 contribution will put your name on a bronze plaque at Strode's Mill to show all the community support we've given, both in kind and in cash. And so we've raised a good bit of money doing that, and also selling T-shirts and whatever contributions our fundraisers have brought.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we are still trying to plan our year ahead, seeing we want to have a grand reveal in September of 2017, which would be the 240th anniversary of the Battle of Brandywine. So that's my goal date, to have the great unveiling or the, you know, the preview party there at the site.
Oh, that would be excellent, and I would be honored to even be part of that. That's a great remembrance. One thing I have to say is my favorite scene there is the sausage and scrapple sign, and I think you mentioned to me in a private conversation that the actual wall that has the sign is not going to be surviving. It's going to be torn down. Is there going to be any kind of a remembrance of that sign?
Yes.
Because most people drive by and see the sign, and that's what they think about when they think of Strode's Mill.
We've had so many people, you know, wanting it. That's why we put it on a T-shirt, because there was so much interest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on a concrete block structure. It's not even on a wall that can be moved. And what we've what the plan is to make a large reproduction, somewhat like a mural, that we will have put into our timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So it will exist. As you can see right now, the paint is peeled, it's chipped off, and if we tried to move it, it would collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan will be to make a replicate of it, and so it'll be placed somewhere on a wall that will be near the finished barn.
Okay.
So it will survive in a way, as I say, if you can vision a mural.
I think that's great. You know, I think the T-shirts are great, but I will add one thing. If you could replicate that sign in some kind of a small poster or plaque.
Oh, sure.
That would be great, because I think people in your upcoming events would love to buy some of those as a remembrance.
I agree, and I had an offer from Gene Gagliardi, who is a very famous meat man in the area. He would make the sausage, and he would make scrapple for us.
That's great.
Just got to get the recipe.
We've got less than a minute left. What's the projected timetable for the overall project as you know it now to be completed, and when will visitors, do you think, will actually be able to view the site as anywhere near finished?
I would say late 2017.
Okay.
We'll have a very big year this year for renovation, construction, and landscaping and such. I'm hoping to be planting daffodil bulbs this fall in the stream bed area, and then the grand reveal in September of 2017.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Linda, thank you for joining us today. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday, March 30th at 1 p.m. Eastern, when we'll be talking with Dave Walter about an historic burial ground for Revolutionary War soldiers right off of Route 202 and 926. Thank you all for tuning in today for this edition of Living History.